Blog Talk Radio.
For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?
Is as the flower of the field, the grass withereth, the flower fainteth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, day of death, and there is no discharge in that war.
Serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin.
Shalom, and shalom,
and shalom, all that are gathered this evening on this edition of Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I pray all is well, and it should be, always with the righteous. Thank you, Brother Ugly. Hallelujah. Brother Paul, thank you for the confirmation. Finally, get this thing to start right. Oh, hallelujah. Well, saints, it's been a very blessed day, wondrous day. Today, here at the community, was laying cleanup day. We always have one before the feast. A lot of saints come out and help with getting the land prepared. Hallelujah. And we're very thankful for each and everyone's sacrifice and labor of love. Beautiful thing to see the saints' hearts and minds together in unity. Just doing everything out of love. Wonderful, wonderful. And we can thank Yah for that. Because it's Yah who's made this possible. You heard the beautiful words yesterday that our dear pastor was speaking of by the Spirit. It's amazing. And it's wondrous and it's beautiful how the Spirit is wooing us, even at this hour, trying to shake us from ourselves, trying to get our minds off of our flesh, trying to get our conscience to an eternal understanding. We have invested so many years in the flesh. And true, we have. And some of us have been in this for quite a while. I've been in it pretty much half my life, which is good. And I thank y'all for that. But some of us is just now entering in. And the Spirit has been really pushing and pleading and beseeching us for us to really embrace who we really are. And in many instances, you know, you look at it and say, yeah, this is blessed. This is wonderful. This is great. Then again, I have to look at it, you know, and understand and discern that a lot of the people of Yah still have not embraced who they are. They have not stepped into the inheritance. They have not walked over the threshold of being children, knowing that they are truly children of Yah. We had no qualms and we had no resistance in days of old. When we served the mighty one of this world, served lust, pleasures, desires. There's no fight, no kick. And now here we've been called into his marvelous light. There's things in us speaking against the light. And I hope we are doing something against those voices and the origin of those voices. A lot of those voices have been speaking from past experiences and past acquaintances and past turmoils and traumas. When the word encourages, forget those things that are behind. How much have we forgot those things which are behind? Things which are no profit in this walk. Things that are not edifying. Again, we're coming upon another holy convocation. And again, the invitation is going out so many ways through his word, through his pleading, through his praising, through his deliverance, through his worship. We've really got to get in tune with this to be able to discern the master's body. We're so quick, you know, to discern others, quicker than we are to discern ourselves. Why is that? Why is that? You ever ask yourself that? Why am I so in tune with the faults and failures of others when I should be dealing with my own myself? Got these gigantic telephone poles in my eyes. And here I am, laboring to pick a little splinter out of my brother, out of my sister's eye. It could be in the classification of walking as a hypocrite in many instances. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The word of Yah comes forth to embrace us. If we continually have in our mind his thoughts towards us are thoughts of peace, then when the word of rebuke and the word of reproof and the word of correction comes, we don't take it offensively. We take it in love as coming from the master himself. Then this word may have a place in you, and it might do its work in you. But hard ground will not receive seed of any kind. Stiff neck, hard heart. You think a good seed can penetrate a stiff neck? That neck is so tight, so unturnable, that the ground can't be broken up on it? Stout-hearted? Heart so stout? The word trying to be planted just bounces off of it, reflects it, deflects it. Think about it. Beautiful about the Most High, when we meditate on that which is natural, then let the Spirit of Yah teach us that which is spiritual. As his desire is to lead us into all truth. And we know truth embodied itself in one. We know that is Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. Excuse me. It's a little mild cold in my nose, but still able to speak, and I thank y'all for that. Day by day, our necessary bread. I love the word of Yah. There's something about the word of Yah being in your heart, that during certain circumstances and certain times, there's something there to retrieve. There's something there for comfort. There's something there for a shield and a buckler. Think about it. Think about it. There's a lot of situations we get into, and we wonder many times how the word of Yah has escaped us. There's no reflection, there's no remembrance. How much of it has been put into your heart? How much of it has been lived? How much of it has become part of your being? We profess and confess that he is in us and we in him. This should be showing forth a unique conversation, a unique fellowship, a unique relationship. Hallelujah. I'm thankful being in the family of Yah, and we all should be thankful to be in the family of Yah. Spirit is eternal. And we know our blood is temporary. It's only one blood that was shed that is eternal. And here we walk as children of Yah, being washed, washed with an R in it, washed by his word, washed by his blood, cleansed by his blood. Though ye sins be as scarlet. Something about that blood is that is able to purify. Many people want that blood to purify the outward man, and it was not spilled for the outward man. We see when Yeshua took that body and put it on the tree and draw all sins, iniquities, and transgressions to it, to the uttermost, kept it alive to all the children was atoned for. To all the children, the blood was meat. All to the point where Messiah knew within himself that now the Spirit speaking expressly, now the Spirit made a testimony openly, it is finished. And here we are, the children of Yah, on this side, being translated into a finished work. Choose you whom this day you will serve. Embrace your calling. Embrace your election to the utmost. The same thing that told you that this world was not your home. The same calling and election that reverberated to you that you were a stranger and a pilgrim in this world. So knowing these things that are being testified in us, why do we resist? Why hang on to things so temporal? When there was a body on the tree opening the door to the eternal. See, the door is opening here at Passover. If the blood is applied. Many seasons we have seen the death angel pass through. Like I said before, we made it to Passover and the death angel has taken out many. Are we going to seal our testimony this Passover once and again? Making ourselves ready to be worthy of the bread and the wine, the body and the blood. Each and every year, we understand the weight of this even the more so. And we fellowship with the depth of the love that is within it as we rehearse it year by year, as it matures within us year by year by year. And as we stay on the road to the kingdom, every day, our Yah is much sweeter. Our Yah becomes greater and greater. We understand more and more how he is our all in all. This is exciting to me. The creator of all living allows us to hear his words. And we have a testimony. We experienced it ourselves. That they are the world they cannot hear. But you heard and you understood, but they heard, but they didn't understand. Think about that. Think about that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us continue on in our journey in Ephesians. I figure we was at getting ready to embark on, as it is in our King James Version, chapter 3. But you know me, as we're reading an epistle and a letter, we don't let the chapters and the verses break thought. As each and every one of us has wrote a letter to somebody, and if you have wrote a letter to somebody, and you have put chapter and verse in your letter, let me know. The whole form of your letter was in chapter and verse. So that's the way the Spirit wants us to understand these epistles. And we're here looking at a letter written to the Ephesians at Ephesus. At one time, these believers in times past were Gentiles. But since they have been called and elected, their status is no longer a Gentile. As Peter in Acts come to the revelation that Yah has put no difference between us and them. No difference? No difference? No difference? We see a lot of camps out here trying to put difference when the Spirit of Yah has destroyed that enmity. I can say securely and confidence in Yah, these people that have that problem, the Spirit of Yah is not in them. I can say that of a truth. Bless you, Bro Paul. But you're not writing a letter. You're just helping the saints with the verses. We know. Hallelujah. Bless you, brother. Laughter is medicine to the bones. But let us continue in our journey in Ephesus to the believers at Ephesus, to whom the book is called the Epistle to the Ephesians. But this is an epistle to the believers at that region. Hallelujah. And I'm going to backtrack a little bit. I know we've been in chapter 2 for quite a while. And we're still going to be in chapter 2. There's parts of chapter 2 that ring true with what the Spirit is saying to the assembly, even at this hour. I pray, saints of the Most High Yah, for hearing ears and seeing eyes. And I'll call upon the Father right now, O blessed Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name Yeshua. Thank you for another day. Thank you for all that's been accomplished. Most High Yah, you have been our strength. You've been our shield and you've been our buckler. You've been our provider. You've been everything to us in this hour. And we're so very thankful. Your children, again, desire to hear your voice, to get direction, to get comfort, get reproof, rebuke, whatever is needed from you, Most High, because we know that you love us. And everything toward us as your children is your expression of love, because it is written that Yah is love. And then we know you love us, and in this you loving us, let us love you, Most High, with a pure heart, as you, Most High, Yah, are desiring to get us ready, to draw us near, because you have invited us to your feast. And you want us to be worthy to take the body and the blood. Thank you, Most High Yah, for your guidance, for everything that you are. You want us home. You want us with you. Or in your love. And I know your love will not depart from you. And it will not return into you void. But it will accomplish what it set forth to do. Most High Yah, we want to be with you in eternity. We say this and thank you with all hallelujahs. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless you, saints. Let us begin. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's start in Ephesians again, chapter 2. And we'll start again at verse 11. I know we went over this before. And I know the Most High Yah does not want certain things. He don't want none of his words, really, to slip. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. I'm going to read. I read. I know many saints love the way I read, but I cannot say this of myself. I like reading the word of Yah from the Spirit of Yah, and I pray that the Spirit of Yah is actually communicated through it. Because Most High Yah has taught me to read and teaching me to read in certain cadences, rises and falls, inflections, to bring prominence to certain words, certain phrases, to bring our attention as the Spirit would give utterance. See, the Spirit of truth that abides with us is such a beautiful and amazing ministering spirit. If we just allow him to minister, allow him to help our meditations. Because too many times we're meditating on our own failures, our own dislikes. It's too much of flesh that we're meditating on. When the word has told us, when you keep your mind on Yah, there is a peace there that is a kind of reward, or it is a payoff. Just keeping your mind on him. What else do we have to keep our mind on in this time, in this hour? There's so many things out there vying for our minds. And you think about it, why is it wanting to distract us? Just think about it, why these distractions are presenting themselves, why there be so many kinds of voices out there wanting recognition here and recognition there, when the only voice to the children and the sheep of Yah should be the shepherd's voice. This is the one leading and guiding us. His word is the pasture where we graze. His word keeps us in a perimeter of safety. His word is the rod and the staff in the shepherd's hand. That any time the shepherd, the staff, has to do its work just to keep us in the perimeters, just to keep us in the love of Yah, just to keep us in the protection of Yah. So Ephesians, again, we're going over this again. But listen, listen, listen. I know we're in the King James Version, and I watch a lot of the Hebrew Roots movements. Some of them are just plain bowel movements. But Hebrew Roots claiming there are so many mistranslations and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I know that. That is true. But one thing I know, that the spirit of Yah is still intact. If I would just tune my ears to that still small voice, tune out all this other loud shit that's trying to keep me from hearing the still small voice. It's amazing as we tune in to the still small voice, how louder it becomes if we just keep training our ear. Then over time, a pattern develops and a habit develops to where we don't want to hear nothing but the voice of Yah. And there's something in us building up to drown out all the other communications. All begins in the heart. The inner seat of our being. What is being stored there? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before we start, I'm going to let Sister Wenda take a little break right here and let Sister Wenda talk. Hopefully, I get this button to working. I don't know if it's this mouse or what it is, but I'll let Sister Wenda talk. There.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the live stream that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straight Way Truth Ministry. We try to make sure we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Straight Way Truth Ministry, 641 Highway 52, Bypass West, number 7, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E. Again, our mailing address is Straight Way Truth Ministry, 641 Highway 52, Bypass West, number 7, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to send a personal note to Pastor Charles Dowell, just add the letters C/O in front of the word Straightway, and your letter will go directly to him. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do everything we can to return your message. And if you would like to know more about our healing, deliverance, and truth ministry, keep up to date on events, or find a home fellowship closest to you, please visit our website at straightway.com. Straightway is spelled StraightWay.com. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
And definitely, the King is coming. Bride's got to make herself ready. Hallelujah. What an invitation, huh? All right, saints of the Most High, Yah, let us begin. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 11. I always look at these epistles, in every one of them, I have to take into account that I am an Ephesian, I am a Galatian, I am a Corinthian, that I am a Roman. You know, according to way of the Gentile. But I got to look at these epistles. We can look at them from a Christian view and just say, yeah, that was written to them. Or we can look at every one of them and liken them as they were written to us personally. Personally and to us as an assembly. You know, let's take in proper perspective. When we read and fellowship with this word. And that's taking it to heart. As it is speaking to you. And as we begin in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 11. And it's bringing us to a place. It says, wherefore, remember. Okay. Remember. What I got to remember. That you, being in time past. Oh, remember, okay, the time when I was not born again, the time when I was considered a heathen, the time when I was probably considered a publican, and such like. And it's trying to bring us to remembrance of your former state. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles, how? There's this phrase, in the flesh. In the flesh. In the flesh. In times past Gentiles, in the flesh. Really hear that. Not in the spirit, but your Gentiles in the flesh. And when you were Gentiles in the flesh, you were called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh. And it's all dealing with the temporal, the passing away, the circumcision of in the flesh made by hands, the cutting. And at that time, you were not separated. The foreskin of your conscience, the foreskin of your soul and everything that you were when you were wicked, Gentiles in the flesh. That there had been no incision made in your life, no cutting. It's amazing That day when the sword came. And many swords came separating you from your natural family, separating you from the world, separating you from your former lust, separating you from your former desires. This realm of circumcision, this cutting that took place, this setting apart that went forth, that in many instances and certain circumstances was quite violent. Like I said last time that I ministered, when the sword came and I looked at all the things that I trusted in, everything that I had hope in, all my mighty ones laid in ashes. I'm looking down and seeing all this waste, all this desolation. It left me with no alternative to take that head that was hanging low and cause it by the power of Yah to look up. When the sword came to awaken me, to let me know that you, son, you're not of this world. You, son, you got to put away all this former crap, shit. Look before you. It's a testimony before your eyes, son. Everything that you trusted in, everything you had hope in, is in ashes. It's burning. It's smoldering. It's in smoke. Brought down to such a low point that the hand of Yah, at the same time it was bringing me low, was bringing me a hope of lifting me back up. And I thank Yah that I saw that outstretched hand. And that while I was wallowing in that mire and them ashes, that the hand that was there to pull me out of it. And many of us have this testimony. Do you remember the day, the very first day that the eyes of your understanding were opened? That profound testimony, there was something new in you. Think about it. Wherefore remember? Wherefore remember in times past when the sword came? That uncircumcision, that uncircumcision that you was living in brought you to circumcision. But it took that circumcision made by hands to help you understand the circumcision in the spirit. So there's a lot of shit in the flesh that needed to be cut away from us. And it's still being cut away from us. Let the word do what it's supposed to do. I know it cuts deep sometimes. You gotta understand that the word works two ways. It cuts and it heals. As it has a desire to cut, it has a desire to heal. This is a perfect word. This is a whole word desiring to make you whole. But too many people love to remain uncircumcised in mind, in heart, in spirit, where circumcision really to the utmost does avail. Verse 12. Listen. I want to keep this simple, saints of the Most High. I really do. Spirit does move in unique ways. Man must go with the flow of the Spirit. We've been too much harnessed by the flow of the world. And understand a lot of you new to this don't understand the flow of the Spirit. Why you need to be immersed in the Spirit. So that you can go with His flow. We've been too much in the flow of the world. And we see where that flow takes us. And we don't want to go there no more. Remember that at that time, you were without Messiah. I remember them days. I do. A lot of us remember them days. We don't really relish them. Well, we know the Most High God desired us to go through that too. Something about a background of darkness makes the light more prominent. I don't really relish in nothing I did in my past. But now that I'm walking in the light, I want to testify of all things done in the light. And I know we all do. It's just that amazing when we first enter into the light, we wanted to proclaim to the whole world the beauty of that light. We could come to quick, fast, and a hurry that many people wanted to remain in darkness, that light was just an offense to them. Then the Most High Yah makes this in such living color. That it is so much living color that it surpasses the temporal. That these experiences that build in our testimony, they're engraved, and Most High Yah wants us engraved in us to take to eternity. When we start embracing that we are an eternal people, then this temporal will not have no hold on you. Though wife leave, though husband leave, though children leave, whoever may depart, you don't care because your anchor is in a different place. You don't have no more anchors in this world. Too many people have anchors in this world. Too many people have bridges in the backgrounds, bridges in shadows and dark places, fail safes. Too many people have these fail-safes. They don't really trust the Most High Yah with their life. So their life leads them. And they found that all in the days of the journeyings and the lust and the desires of their life, they see death at the end of the road, staring at them. That is not my prize. That should not be our prize. A people that has been ordained to life, their eyes should be within our eyes. Within just our vision, there should be a hope of seeing our Redeemer, seeing our Savior, seeing our Master. That's what's getting us home. It's just a straightforward focus on Him. Nothing else. And what power is this love? Because He first loved us. If we would just embrace it, He first loved us. Then this will empower our love to the end. This is more than some little Christian fairy tale that takes a man and so many steps, puts him in a manger and does this and does that, and then puts him on a cross, and that's it. Oh, that was such a good story. But this is our life. We don't understand that this is our life. This is who we are. This is our substance. This is our hope. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. What do you hope? I hope. Our hope is in Messiah. Our hope is in Yah. That at the time, that at that time, time passed, you were without Messiah. You are alienated, being aliens. You are aliens from the common wealth. You are aliens from the common unity of Christianity. No, they don't say that. That's not written. The commonwealth of Baptists. No, I don't read that. The commonwealth of Pentecostals. No! The commonwealth of the Church of Christ. No, no, no. I don't see no wealth in the Baptists. I don't see no wealth in the Pentecostals. I don't see no wealth in the Apostolics, the Catholics, or whatever brand that that the religion calls itself. See, Messiah is not a religion. Messiah is life. Messiah is love. Messiah has laws, precepts, and commandments. He is the king. We've been called to his kingdom. We're in his house. He is the head. And the head will always have statutes, precepts, and commandments for you to abide with him. He would not put these things on you in no other terms if he has not abided in the same things. He wants you to enter into his joy. Because he was obedient, he wants you to be obedient. Why not be obedient? And enter into the joy. He has no greater joy than to hear his children walk in truth. But because some receive not the love of the truth, they rather be sent a strong delusion. And the delusion is there to damn them, to take them away, to bring them back to uncircumcision, to bring them back to their former estate, to bring them back to a Gentilehood. Are you in the hood? Are you in the kingdom? Who is your king? Servants will always be loyal to their king, true servants. Most AI is really pleading with us. No more lies, saints. Quit listening to lies. Lies that bind, chains, and fetters. That at that time passed, you were without Messiah, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant. It's sad. Again, it's not sad. It's disappointed to them because they received not the love of the truth. Yah shall send them a strong delusion. I mean, If you don't receive the truth, then there's only two kingdoms at war. You going to be with Yah? Or you going to be with the Hasatan? You going to be with truth? Or you going to be with a lie? Choose you whom this day you will serve. But you will be in that time past. Walked according to the prince of the power of the air. Whenever he pulled your trump card, you say, yeah, I'm here. I'll do it. And death followed. And death followed. Sin came, then death was right behind it. Do you love the wages of sin? Or have you tasted the wages of righteousness? Which one tastes better? Which one has more flavor? Which one has more life? Which one has more vigor? You were strangers. In times past, you were strangers from the covenants of promise. Oh, my God. Covenants? Covenants at plural. A promise. When y'all said, and this is the covenant that I will make in them after those days. Writing the law. Oh, no. It's done away, done away, done away. I'm not going to dance to that tune. My Yah has not been done away. I'm waiting for the day when the Hasatan is done away. Then I will say he is done away. Done away, done away, done away. The Hasatan is done away. All his wickedness and transgression and everything. Covenants. Covenant will make with them after those days. I, Yah, will write my laws in their minds and in their hearts. And when this is done, when this circumcision takes place, they will be my people and I will be their Elohim. My seal will be in them. There's a place no longer that they should be marked. And we, the sealed in this covenant, had to mark certain people who thought they were Israel. But they had not the spirit of Yah. So they had to be marked. They reproof and rebuke had to go openly for your protection. We hear so many people's names being called out lately. They're being marked. And this is for your protection. You hear their name, you stay away. We are not here to proclaim a gospel of offense, because the offense has no good news. I'm not here at this time and this hour to preach unto you my pain, my suffering, what I've been through. That is of no edification. In times past, I might have spoke like that, but I'm not in the past no more. I've got to keep my mind in the eternal, and you've got to keep your mind in the eternal. You've got to keep your hands on the plow and look forward. Your face has got to stay continually on the prize of the high calling in Messiah. You've got to get home. Messiah is trying to call you home. And we resist. And you hear But the Spirit is declared to the assembly, especially for this Passover. He wants his children to be confident to partake of the bread and the wine. He wants his children to be strong and do exploits. We can see the children of this world trying to make their voices so loud. They're not called to be witnesses. We are called to be witnesses. The ends of the world are come, and it's hinging on us. When this transforms from Esau, and it is put into the hands of Jacob, by your word, by your testimony. These people out here that is breathing slaughterings and all this other crap on YouTube. So damn selfish. So damn selfish. So we have these covenants of promise now. But in times past, we were strangers from the covenants of promise. And we had no hope, and we know we had no hope. But now we have hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You didn't have faith when you were so-called Gentile. You ever had no faith when you were in the flesh? You can have no faith in the flesh. That's why the word is, we hear that the cadence in the flesh, in the flesh, in the flesh. See, the sword comes to put difference between flesh and spirit. That sword came to bring you to Yah. Don't deny the cutting at any time when it comes forth. When the light shines in dark places, let it shine. You get to see what's in that dark place. Many times in deliverance, when we're sealing up my brother, are you sealing up your sister? Now those places now that are vacated, the places that one wants in darkness, Most High Yah, let your spirit abide there now. One thing we want in this house, this tabernacle, this temporary tabernacle that we have now, we won't have a full tabernacle of light. This has got to be attained day by day by day. Faint not in well-doing. And I've seen a lot of people faint because they would not endure. They allowed the flesh, and they leaned on the arm of flesh to be sustenance and to be strength. And it failed. From the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without Yah, without. Oh, that just gets me. I don't know. I can't be without Yah. I've been in this so long, just think being without Yah. That is devastation. To be attached as a branch to the vine all these years and receiving the goodness and the fatness of the root as it sustained me. I think I know where I need to remain. And I think you know where you need to remain. Because Israel will remain in the menorah among the seven flames, the seven appointed times in the year. And that tree we know that menorah is such a symbol for us, Israel, because it has a sure foundation. And we know what is the flame that brings the light to every lampstand. Noah, we will not trust in a star. That is a shameful, shameful, shameful symbol that were put upon the Jews, the false ones, during the war. It mocked them. It mocked. It didn't seal them. It mocked them. It mocked them. You child of Yah, you're not set up to be marked. Most Yah is here to seal us. I hope you hear. I hope you hear. The Tassatan wants to be like the Most High Yah. Again, in times past, I said, yeah. Most High Yah used a pure virgin. But Hasatan want to be like the Most High Yah? Used a whore? For his seed? Satan used a whore? For his seed? Do you hear? Do you hear? Do you hear? Ephesians 2:13, but now. You hear that word now, now. When tomorrow comes, it would be now. When the end of the week comes, it'll be now. Because our Messiah is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's stable. He's whole. He's consistent. But he's eternal. But now, in Christ Jesus and Messiah, you who sometimes were past, embrace this, were far off, and we know when we were far off, and we know at any time when we do get far off, when we wander away from the shepherd, when we step outside the boundaries of protection, who are sometimes far off, now you are made nigh. But now are made nigh. You made near. You made close by the blood. Blood? The blood? Life is in the blood. But there's something about Messiah's blood. Even though that body was slain in the temporal, something about that blood reached to the eternal. Something about that blood that went into the heavenlies and cleansed that place where the Hasatan had defiled. That place in us, in our conscience. You're made near by the blood of Messiah. And we're getting ready to partake of his blood. We're made nigh by the blood of Christ. To my mind. In the word, in the spirit. Brings me reflection in Hebrews. To the epistle to the Hebrews, Hebrews 9, verse 11, but Christ, Messiah, being come an high priest of good things to come. Good things to come. Good things to come. Good things to come. So if we remain in this, good things are coming. Because Christ was made a high priest of good things to come. But by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy, once into the holy place, having attained what? Eternal, not temporal, but eternal, not temporal. This thing is not temporary. This thing is not fading. This thing is not passing away. But by his blood, for Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, temporary, but by his own blood, eternal. He entered once into the holy place and having attained eternal redemption. Eternal redemption. Eternal, eternal, eternal redemption for us. You hear that? This is, in times past, for the blood of bulls and of goats and of the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, it's sanctified to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to Yah, purge your conscience from dead works. Why in this walk are many still performing dead works when the blood should have purged your conscience, should have circumcised your conscience? Your conscience at one time was uncircumcised. But now, by the eternal blood of Christ, purge your conscience from dead works in times past. All the dead working, like I said, all those wasted years. And again, I don't gloat. I don't let that dishearten me. I understand the backdrop of where I come from. It is passed on. Like I said, now I embrace the new creature with new features. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That no longer within me is a thirst for the temporal. And something greater working to me, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The greater one in me is propelling me and constraining me to strive and thirst and cleave after the eternal. And I thank y'all for that, because I cannot boast, because this none of my hands, none of my works, nothing that I have done has compelled me to do this. That's why I bow my knee gladly, because I know it's all of Yah. If the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, all this shadow, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Messiah, who the eternal spirit offered? What are you offering? He offered himself. Was he selfish? He was so selfish he could not be omnipotent. He could be not all-knowing. He could not put himself in every one of us. Those that are his children, that is. How much more shall the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to Yah, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living Elohim? Back in Ephesians 4, he is our peace now. Who, if any pieces we're going to have, because it's going to be in him, through him and by him. We understand that real peace is Messiah. For he is our peace who has made both one and broken down the middle wall partition between us. So he did this in his flesh. He abolished in his flesh the hatred. Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, in all these laws that had to govern the flesh because of hardness of men's hearts. All these laws had been put on the outside of the ark. And he did this for to make in himself of two, of twain, one new man. And we, here we are, the fruits of that labor. The fruit, the children of the "it is finished." He would say it at that time that would bring forth what was ordained before the foundation of the world to be concepted in the time of Yah. Here you are, child of Yah, birthed at the last day. Will you be ashamed? So making peace. Ephesians 2:16. And that he might reconcile both unto Yah in one body by the tree. And he slayed the enmity, the hatred thereon, because on that tree. Now that flesh and everything that pertained to it. And because he was on that tree, he came and preached peace to you. When you saw him on that tree, peace was being preached to you. You know, when you saw him on that tree, you didn't physically see him, but that was something in you. What was that in you? Was it birth of yourself? Or was it birth of Yah? Was that was conceived in you of the world? Or was it conceived of Yah? Came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh, that were near. And it's only through him, for through him, we both have access by one. And so many people cannot embrace this one. And I'm like, why can they embrace this one, Most High? Most of y'all says it's because they can't get past themselves. They submit themselves to their flesh, to their desires, to their wants, to their perceptions. Through him, we both have one. We have access by one Spirit unto our Father. Access. 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 Are you, how much you through this week from even yesterday, have you been accessing the wealth of Israel? The wealth of the Father. When will you embrace your royalty? Your royalty is not your royalty because he is the royalty. And we're just partakers. Why will you not receive? Hands outstretched. Record is there. All the day long. Hand outstretched. Access. 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 By one. We're dealing with so many spirits. We fight with so many spirits that we can embrace the one. And I think it's pertinent for us to take the sword and deal with all these other temporal spirits. Get them out of the way so we can just cleave and hear the voice of the one. Because we want access. And access is there unto the Father. And all this that we have spoken, remember in times past, now, therefore, you. He's talking, he went from the temporal. Now he's speaking to those who know they are eternal. He's speaking to those who know that they are no longer Ephesians. They no longer Colossians. They no longer Romans. They no longer whatever brand. Now, therefore, it is there for a reason. Now, it is there for that you are no more strangers. Quit treating yourself as a stranger. You act as a stranger. Your spirits are strangers. And you wonder why. Why the people of Yah don't receive me? You ever considered there might be a certain spirit in you, keeping you from the commonwealth, keeping you from the fellowship? Now, therefore, you are no more strangers than foreigners. So many people in this walk still think that there are strangers and foreigners, and they will not embrace. But it says you are fellow citizens with the saints. All that went on before us, you are in the same place with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. You're fellow citizens of the household of Yah. Means you are of the same people as you've read from the beginning, consecrated to Yah. Will you embrace your consecration? Will you embrace your set apartness? Will you walk in your set apartness? And I read the original Aramaic portion of this verse. Listen to this. Ephesians 2:19 in the original Aramaic says, therefore, you are not strangers. You are neither guests, but inhabitants of the city of the Holy One. Oh, hallelujah. But so many of us don't want to come out of her so that we can become inhabitants of the Holy One. Inhabitants of the city of the Holy One and the children of the household of Yah. And it says, and are built, Ephesians 2:20, upon the foundation. Upon the foundation. The foundation. Just remember earlier this week, I took time to really listen Elder Mitchell talk about foundation, and I loved what he talked about. It was so true. When we start realizing that our roots is not in this world, that Yah has planted us elsewhere, when we understand we are his plantings, we understand that when he is the true master, when you fully embrace that, tell me, what is the testimony of your fears in? What are you fearing? What are you mistrusting in? What are you envying? What are you jealous of? What are you in hatred and variance? Why are you emulating? When you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and this house, Messiah himself being the chief cornerstone, because that had to be laid first to make the foundation true and sure. When you put that foundation stone upon a rock, when you are upon a rock, whatever comes your way, you're going to stand. But like he said, if it's on sand, you will suffer loss. But Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ himself being the chief, the main cornerstone, the one that sets the precedence for the rest of the building. It must be laid first. It must be made true first for the rest of the building to be made true. Then he asks us, be careful how you build thereon. Because in Isaiah 28:16, it says, therefore, thus says Yahweh Elohim, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone. So stay in this and be tried. Be made true. Be built. A tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believes shall not make haste. Matthew 21:42, Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the scriptures the stones which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is Yah's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Acts 4:11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Wherefore, also, it is contained in the Scripture. Not contained in the epistles, but it's contained in the Scripture. This is in 1 Peter 2:6. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, you believe, he remains precious. But if you want to travel the road of the disobedient, it is the stone which the builders, it is the stone which you will disallow. The same stone which is made the head of the corner. The same stone is a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. And why is it a rock of offense? Because you stumble at the word. Being disobedient. And because you disobedient, it was wherefore also they were appointed to be disobedient. But you, on the foundation that has the chief cornerstone, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. Why that you should show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That was 1 Peter 2:9. And we conclude this chapter upon all that has went forth this evening. Ephesians 2:21. In whom, Messiah, all the building fitly framed together, it grows unto an holy temple in Yah, in Messiah. In whom you also are built together for an habitation. Times past, you are a habitation of devils. Quit being a habitation of devils. Quit declaring obedient and declare that you are an habitation of Yah through the Spirit. And the letter does go on, which we will pick up again as we all have been listening. Ephesians 3:1, for this cause. What cause? See, I don't know why it put a division there, because the letter reads on. It's continual. It's one thought. We are a people of a pure mind. We should not have this fragmented mind. But somehow this chapter and verse wants us to have it. We got to look beyond it. Like Pastor said, look beyond the words. Let us look beyond chapter and verse and hear what the Spirit is writing and the Spirit is saying unto the assembly. All that we read from so-called chapter 2, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Messiah, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. We got to understand that when we have passed from death to life, we're no longer in the city of Gentiles. Let us have a Zion mentality, a kingdom mentality. We're getting ready to embark upon the feast of Yah, not feast of ourself, but the feast of Yah. And while we're partaking of the body and of the blood, Most High Yah wants us to remember but our hope is not in the past. A hope is remaining in that which is to come. So our hope has roots in the eternal. Our hope, Yah's hope, has no hope in the past which has gone forth and it came to pass. So our hope is Yah's hope. There abides these things, faith, hope, and love. And we know the greatest of these is charity. And we will understand this more day by day if we remain. If we stay in the kingdom and stay kingdom-minded. We'll praise Yah for all those that have hearing ears and seeing eyes. These letters are weighty, but they're a good weight. Like a dear brother, sister there in Australia, Remain. No matter what's going on, you still got to remain. If our eyes and our ears in heavenly places and our roots are no longer in this world, then whatever is going on in this world should have no effect on us. Our Yah promised that he's going to take care of us. He's not seen the righteous forsaking nor his seed begging for bread. Will you grasp and cleave to that? I have. And I have seen the fulfillment of that in so many avenues. Our Yah is mighty. And he wants to show himself mighty. Just be a vessel of his to let him work through you. We are his ambassadors. We are his representatives. What we do in this time and this hour is going to reflect through all eternity. This testimony is going to be sealed. It's going to seal eternity. Our Yah has done this. He is the creator. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Just reckon yourself likewise with him. Praise Yah. Praise Yah. Again, bless all that were in attendance tonight. Thank you for your support, your prayers. Pray all that is coming to the land here for the feast. Be ready. Be expecting. REI does want to show himself mightily. We've got to really come together as one to really see REI shine. We want him to shine. We should have a desire to let him shine in this time and this hour. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.